So today we come to book 3. Some phrase from poems. Thank you, O Lord, my Master, that you have transformed me entirely into yourself and accompany me through life's toils and labors. I feel nothing when I have you in my heart. The Lord's Supper is laid. Jesus sits down at table with his apostles. His being all transformed into love. For such was the Holy Trinity's counsel. With great desire, I decide to eat with you before I suffer death. About to leave you, love holds me in your midst. He sheds his blood, gives his life, for he loves immensely. Love hides beneath the appearance of bread. Departing, he remains with us. Such self-abasement was not needed, yet burning love hid him under these species. Over the bread and wine, he says these words, "This is my body." "This is my blood. This is my body." Although mysteriously, these are words of love. Then he passes the cup among the disciples. Jesus grew deeply troubled within and said, "One of you will betray his master." They fell silent. It was silence as of the tomb, and joy inclined his head on his breast. "The supper is ended. Let us go to Gethsemane." Love is satisfied, and there the traitor is waiting. O divine will, you are my nourishment, you are my delight. Hasten, O Lord, the feast of mercy, that souls may recognize the fountain of your goodness. Another paragraph. God and Souls. Krakow, March 1st, 1937. O will of the omnipotent God, you are my delight, you are my joy. Whatever the hand of my Lord holds out to me, I will accept with gladness, submission, and love. Your holy will is my repose. In it is contained all sanctity and all to my eternal salvation. For doing God's will is the greatest glory. The will of God, those are his various wishes, which my soul carries out without reserve, because such are his divine desires. In those moments when God shares his confidences with me, "Do with me as you will, Lord. I place no obstacles. I make no reservations. For you are my whole delight in the love of my soul. And to you, in turn, I pour out the confidences of my heart." There's a few words that really the whole gospel is really relating. March 1st, Krakow, 1937. God and Souls. Let the glory and praise to divine mercy rise from every creature throughout all ages and times. O my Lord and God, you command me to write about the graces you grant me. O my Jesus, were it not for a clear command from a confessor that I am to write down what goes on in my soul, I would not, of my own choice, write a single word. And so if I do write about myself, it is the formal command of holy obedience. She doesn't want to write all these words. God, this is our to write. And with the permission of her confessor. If the confessor says no, then he won't write. Obedience. Praise and glory be to God, to you, O Lord, O Holy Trinity, eternal God. May the mercy springing from your very bowels protect us from your just anger. Let the praise of your incomprehensible mercy resound everywhere. All your works bear the seal of your unfathomable mercy, O God. March 1st, 1937. The Lord gave me to know how displeased He is with a talkative soul. I find no rest in such a soul. The constant theme tires me, and in the midst of it, the soul cannot discern my choice. Today, I ask the Lord Jesus to let me meet with a certain person, and this would be a sign for me that He is calling her to this covenant, which I am to find. So it's not this covenant, the covenant He wants to find. And I did meet her and understood that this soul has a vocation. And I asked the Lord to deign to form her Himself. I've talked to her often about a vocation. The Lord will do the rest. So you do the first part, and the Lord continue. March 5th, 1937. Today, I experience the passion of the Lord Jesus in my own body for a long while. The pain is very great, but all this is for the sake of immortal soul. Today, the Lord visited me, pressed me to His heart, and said, "Rest, my little child, I am always with you." So much pain, physical pain. March 8, 1937. Today, as I was praying for the intention of Father Andres, I suddenly understood how intimate this soul communed with God and how pleasing he was to the Lord. It gave me immense joy because I desire intensely that all souls be united with God as closely as possible. So this Father Andres gave an example, good example, the union with the Lord. During prayer today, my soul was overcome with such a strong desire to begin the work that I could not restrain my enthusiasm. Oh, how ardently I desired that the souls in this congregation present themselves before the throne of God and continuously implore His incomprehensible mercy on behalf of the whole world. It's not only on earth, but in the future, in heaven, always pray. His praising and glorifying this unfathomable mercy of God, a mysterious force is driving me to action. March 12, 1937. I saw the weariness of a certain priest, probably Father Sopoko, for whom the Lord has traced out a hard and difficult road, but the fruits of his work are alive. May God give us many such souls, capable of loving Him in the midst of the greatest torments. So always at the same time, when you have the crosses, there's always the fruit. I felt today how greatly a certain dying soul desired prayers. I prayed until I felt she had died. Oh, dying souls are in such great need of prayer. O Jesus, inspire souls to pray often for the dying. March 15, 1937. Today I entered into the bitterness of the Passion of the Lord Jesus. I suffered in a purely spiritual way. I learned how horrible sin was. God gave me to know the whole hideousness of sin. I learned in the depths of my soul how horrible sin was, even the smallest sin, and how much it tormented the soul of Jesus. I would rather suffer 1,000 hells than commit even a smallest venial sin. The Lord said to me, I want to give myself to souls and to fill them with my soul, with my love. But few they are who want to accept all the graces my love has intended for them. My grace is not lost. If the soul for whom it was intended does not accept it, another soul takes it. So the grace of God is always giving out. If you don't want it, go to another person. If the other person doesn't want it, go to another person. It's always given and given. So take it. Don't lose it. Don't be generous. Oh, I share. No, grace is you cannot share. The love of God, how can you share? Jesus share his with you, and then you share with others that you don't want. You know. I frequently feel that certain persons are praying for me. I experience this suddenly in my soul, but do not always know which person is interceded for me. I also know when some person has trouble because of something that has to do with me. Of this too, I am inwardly aware, even though the distance is very great. So she knows someone because of her, some problem. March 18, 1937. I've come to know that I have received a certain grace that brings me into great intimacy and communion with the Lord. He gives me to know by means of an interior light. He always allows me to know his greatness and holiness, and how graciously he lowers himself to me. He gives me an exclusive knowledge of his love for me, and of how he is Lord of absolutely all things, and also of how he gives himself to a soul while suspending all the laws of nature. He acts as he wills. So what's impossible for man is possible for God. So just believing he is now can bestow on you lots of graces. You have to believe. I cannot say we are doubting, but it seems we are in doubt. Could it be you? Will God choose you? Are you the only one? Are you the one beloved? We think only the saints are beloved ones. We're the last one. No. God loves each one of us immensely, in a different way. He embraces each one of us in our own way. He loves us. Believe that. Understand the spiritual exposure of a soul with God, which has no exterior manifestation. It's a purely interior act between the soul and God. You can't see. You cannot see Jesus coming to you and he embraces you. You cannot see. If you can see, it might be different. But you don't see. Jesus that come to you. Jesus is so far away. No. This grace has drawn me into the very burning center of God's love. I have come to understand his Trinitarian quality and the absolute oneness of his being. His grace is different from all other graces. It is so extremely spiritual that my inaccurate description knows not how to express even a shade of it. And Faustina also already explained how God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit, the one you do the thing is the same as God God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They are so united, as if Jesus is talking to you, but the Blessed Trinity is all together. I have such a strong desire to hide myself, that I would like to live as though I did not exist. Because this experience, when people seeing you are outside of this world. So he wants just, exclusively in heaven is easier. On earth, people finding you on this way, always transforming. Maybe they... I feel a strange inner urge to hide myself as deeply as possible, so as to be known only to the heart of Jesus. I want to be a quiet little dwelling place for Jesus to rest in. I shall admit nothing that might awaken my beloved. My concealment gives me a chance to commune constantly and exclusively with my bridegroom. A commune with creatures in so far as it is pleasing him. My heart has come to love the Lord with the full force of love, and I know no other love, because it is from the beginning that my soul has sunk deeply in the Lord as in his only treasure. So it's always that unity with the Lord. I think the more we are united with the Lord, our love for our neighbor is easier. Many times it's blocking us to love because our neighbor is not always lovable. We are not lovable, but Jesus still loves us immensely. So with this love, we share. Although outwardly I meet with many sufferings and various adversities, this does not, however, lessen my interior life for a moment, not disturb my inner silence. I do not fear at all being abandoned by creatures, because even if all abandoned me, I will not be unknown, for the Lord is with me. So even though the situation is not favorable, or the people doesn't look at you, doesn't praise, give you praise, they don't look even or despise you, important is to have Jesus. And if the Lord were to hide, love will know how to find him. For love knows no gates or guards. Even the keen-eyed cherub himself, with his flaming sword, will not stop the love. It will work its way through wilderness and scorching heat, through storm, thunder, and darkness. It will reach the source from which it came, and there it will endure forever. All things will come to an end, but love never. So you have to let this inner love be lived out. Today I received some oranges. When a sister had left, I thought to myself, should I eat the oranges instead of doing penance and mortifying myself during Holy Lent? After all, I'm feeling a bit better. Then I heard a voice in my soul. My daughter, you please me more by eating the oranges out of obedience and love of me than by fasting and mortifying yourself of your own will. Should like to do mortification, but for sake of obedience, the United Jesus more happy. A soul that loves me very much ought to live by my will. I know your heart, and I know that it will not be satisfied by anything but my love alone. So Jesus knows that abstinence, fasting is okay because she has only love for Jesus. But Jesus still asks her to eat for the sake of obedience. I would not know how to live without the Lord. Jesus often visits me in this seclusion, teaches me, reassures me, rebukes me, and admonishes me. He himself forms my heart according to his divine wishes and likings, but always with much goodness and mercy. My heart are filled as one. You have to learn from Faustina this unity with the Lord. Whatever we do, just in him, for him, nothing else but him, his will. March 19, 1937. Today I united myself in spirit with the adoration that is taking place in our house, 40 hours adoration in Krakow. But my soul was full of torments, and some strange kind of apprehension was piercing my heart. Because of this, I redoubled my prayers. Suddenly, I saw the gaze of God reaching into the depths of my heart. Even though she's not in Krakow, but over there, it's 40 hours adoration, she joined them spiritually. As I sat down to a very tasty breakfast, I said to the Lord, "Thank you for these gifts, but my heart is dying of longing for you, and nothing earthly is tasty to me. I desire the food of your love." Today I was strong by some mysterious force to act. I must resist this attraction, or else I will follow it at once. March 21st, 1937, Palm Sunday. During Mass, my soul was steeped in the bitterness and suffering of Jesus. Jesus gave me to understand how much he had suffered in that triumphant procession. Hosanna was reverberating in Jesus' heart as an echo of crucified. Jesus allowed me to feel this in a special way. The doctor did not allow me to go to chapel to attend the Passion service, although I had the great desire of it. However, I prayed in my own room. Suddenly, I heard the bell in the next room, and I went in and rendered a service to a serious sick person. When I returned to my room, I suddenly saw the Lord Jesus, who said, "My daughter, you gave me greater pleasure by rendering me that service than if you had prayed for a long time." I answered, "But it was not to you, Jesus, but to that patient that I rendered this service." And the Lord answered me, "Yes, my daughter, but whatever you do for your neighbor, you do for me." So she go to help the labor, the dying person. Jesus appreciate it's for him. "Oh my Jesus, give me wisdom, give me of mind, great and enlightened by your lights and this only, that I may know you better, O Lord. For the better I get to know you, the more ardently will I love you, the sole object of my love. In you my soul drowns In you my heart dissolves. I know not how to love partially, only with the full strength of my soul and the total ardor of my heart. You yourself, O Lord, have enkindled this love of mine for you. In you my heart has drowned forever. March 22nd, 1937. As I was talking today to a certain person, I recognized that she was suffering greatly in spirit. Although exterior, she pretended that she was very happy and was not suffering at all. I felt inspired to tell her that what was troubling her was a temptation. When I disclosed to her what was torturing her, she burst into tears and told me that she had come to see me precisely to speak to me because she felt that it would bring her relief. The suffering was of such a kind that the soul was being attracted by God's grace on the one hand and by the world on the other. She was going through a terrible struggle that brought her to the point of weeping like a little child. But she went away soothed and set at peace. So many people suffering so much inside, interior, but externally smiling joyfully. You do not know whether this person is really joyful. But, you know, it happens. Faustina of this eye, so much good that Faustina be present here and watching a Jew. Come on. What are you thinking? You remember the other day when Faustina was coming back from the other room, visiting another person, and Faustina was still thinking of that person next room, and Jesus was asking her, Faustina, what are you thinking? Where's your mind? We cannot say that she's distracted, but she's mind is still attached to the person more than now this present moment. He should be with the Lord in his another present moment, another word of God. The previous one is in one chapter. Now it's a new chapter. This room, this new things. Otherwise, you are thinking so many things of the past, and you or many things in the future, and you will never be at peace in the present. That's our temptation. Leave so much for the past, anxiety, contrition, and the future, what will be, and that's how you're wandering between two points, and you're lost. You lost your peace. That's temptation. One last phrase. During my Holy Mass, I saw the Lord Jesus nailed upon the cross amidst great torments. A soft moan issued from his heart. After some time, he said, I thirst. I thirst for the salvation of souls. Help me, my daughter, to save souls. Join your sufferings to my passion and offer them to the Heavenly Father for sinners. So Jesus is inviting. When you're ready, he will say the same thing. And you're so close to him, nothing else but the will of the Father, the will of God, nothing else. Nothing for yourself, only for his glory, only for his will. But he asks you to share your suffering for sinners, nothing else. For sinners, she did nothing wrong on earth, but she suffered more than the others. What for? Just join with Jesus. So keep Jesus in our heart.